This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
For the best Ravens coverage.
It's time for News from the Nest
with Vinny and Haney.
Sponsored by Window Nation. Don't miss out. Buy two windows from Window Nation and get two free. Plus, no interest or payments for 24 months. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan here on this Monday. It's Ravens time. News from the Nest. Vinny's been breaking down offensive linemen. Going back to last week, that draft profile stuff continues on today. As a matter of fact, bottom of the hour, we're going to BYU with an offensive tackle prospect, but Eric DaCosta, Liars Luncheon. Hey, Eric! It's a state of O-line of yours over there.
Well, I mean, I certainly think it's a big factor for us in terms of team building this year. I mean, we spent the entire day yesterday, just to give you an idea, all of yesterday, starting at 9 o'clock in the morning to 6 o'clock at night, was spent on the offensive line. And that's not necessarily because it's a big priority for us as much as the volume of players at those positions this year. It took us a long time to cover through all those players and go through all the information and get them ranked. So it's a very deep pool of players. We see a lot of different opportunities in different rounds to get players at tackle, guard, and center. And we're excited about that.
I wonder if, because we used to break it down, we do tackles, then we do guards, and then we do centers, or vice versa. You know, I mean, and then, you know, you got to do, okay, this guy can play left tackle, right tackle, he's a guard, center, and then, you know, and grade each guy, and then talk about each guy medically and all those types of things. And you probably, I'm sure you have the coaches and stuff in there too. So, yeah, it can, and then you're going to watch film probably on them too to separate them, to put a Ravens grade on the guy. So, I mean, Bob, I mean, when you're talking like one guy, it could be hour, you know, an hour and a half. So 9 to 6 is, you know, pretty good day. Just to, if that was just to finish the tackles, you know, then, you know, that's a pretty good session.
Now, let's revisit a guy that we've talked about many times before. He was a draft pick in 2023. He was hurt. He's out of USC. He's Andrew Voorhees, and here's DaCosta talking about his future role with the team.
You know, Andrew was a guy that I had seen on tape, and I thought that he was a good player. It just seemed to me that we would get some value with him as a player, that had he been in the draft and been healthy, he'd have been a higher pick. And I saw ability potentially for him to be a starter at guard in the league. So we'll see. He's done a fantastic job with rehab. He's very, very strong and physical, if you guys have seen him. The strength coaches and the trainers and the doctors are all very excited about him. And so we'll see what he does.
So that was a guy, Bob, because Eric didn't say that we liked him. I liked him. So Eric had studied him. And it was a guy that he probably studied earlier in the draft, the guys that he was going to look at, and that, you know, and the kid got hurt, and probably a, you know, maybe he had a third, fourth round grade on a guy. Then they're sitting, because Harbs was at the press conference when Eric made the trade to come back into the seventh round, so it was a guy that somebody didn't have to sell Eric on. Eric was maybe selling them on, hey, we can get great value here for a seventh-round pick, and we'll redshirt him, and he can be a starter. So, hey, if you feel that strong, I tell you, Bob, like I did that one with Lee Woodall. I really liked him, and you know, because I liked, I mean, I was running the draft, so it really didn't matter, but I wanted to sell the outside linebacker coach on Lee Woodall. So I told John Marshall at the time, I said, John, take a look at this guy. See what you think. You know, I liked him at the blue-gray game, which doesn't exist anymore. And, you know, tell me what you think. And he said, yeah, I kind of like that guy. So then, you know, when I put him in our rankings, it was much easier for me to sell. And then when everybody else, when we're watching film with the defense, John's like, yeah, I like that. Here's what I liked about him. So, you know, so you got to do a little selling, too, in those meetings.
Voorhees tore his ACL on March 5th, 2023. So we're 13 months removed from that. Two guard spots open for the taking. Simpson's gone to New York. Zeitler's now in Detroit. So there are opportunities. Is that an appropriate time for a guy to step in, plug and play, who hasn't played in, what, 15 months?
Well, here's the thing that I do know about the Ravens, Bob. I think they, everything that they've been around that kid and seen, and work ethic and all those things, and smart sitting in meetings, they like everything about him. And then they liked the film last year. And with Voorhees is, can he stay healthy? Because he's had other injuries. But the Ravens, to me, if they feel like, okay, we're out of those, out of Cleveland, Voorhees, and Saleh, we'll get a guard. One of those three guys will step up. And then they'll go into camp with that competition. And then we've seen what the Ravens do. If it during training camp, if it's not working out, they'll go get somebody like they did with Clowney and Van Noy.
Yep.
So I think that's kind of, I think that's probably their game plan.
5880-1057 The Fan. News from the Nest here on this Monday. John Harbaugh was asked at that Liars luncheon on his confidence level that the O-line replacements are right here in house.
Whoever plays the best, we always say, who's the best player? It's the player who plays the best. You could have been the best player 5 years ago, but you're not the best player now. So every day you go out to practice, every game you play, there's an accumulated, established aspect of it. But right now we're a little more open. So those guys that you're talking about are going to be competing with whoever comes in here, and we'll just see who does it. But I think those guys are ready to compete and do well, and they'll be in here Monday. Can't wait to see them. It's going to be great to see those guys in here Monday working hard and see what happens.
Not a one of them was guaranteed a job, Bob, in those comments.
No.
It was all about competition. We'll see who we bring in. So, to me, Ronnie's got a job. Lindenbaum's got a job. Otherwise, it's competition for the rest of the spots.
But he's confident that the in-house battles will, what's the Harb's term? Iron sharpens iron. Somebody's iron's getting sharp.
They need to bring in like a nice piece of iron to, you know, because I mean, if you asked Harb's, are you Bob, if they were totally confident, would be like, yeah, Cleveland can line up for us, you know, at the left guard. We're fine. You know, I feel good there. I feel good about Falele at right tackle. No. He never said any of that. He is not putting a stamp on any of those guys like, hey, that's my guy. We don't need another guy. I'm guaranteeing you, Harb's probably in there saying, you know, let's draft three guys.
And finally, John Harbaugh was asked about the depth chart and what could be filled with this year's draft.
And Eric and I talk about that all the time, where the blocks are and what the roles are specifically for those guys. I mean, kind of what type of player do we need and what type of spot to build our team from the top to the bottom. I mean, there's a lot of thought that goes into that, a lot of conversation that goes into that. So it's not just the position. It's not just, hey, an offensive lineman, a guard, a tackle, a wide receiver, a corner. It's what type of player do we need and what roles do we need filled, even right through from offense or defense right down through special teams.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, you got to have parameters for your positions because, you know, when your scouts go out, they got to know what you're looking for because in their report, somewhere in that report, it's this guy is better than Ben Cleveland or he's better than this guy. So that's got to be in the report somewhere. So and the thing about it is with Harb's being here for 14 years, the types of players that they like, I'm sure it hadn't changed a lot. Like for Bill Walsh with wide receivers, did not want a receiver under 6 foot tall. Probably would have changed in today's game, but at that time, you know, in the 80s, did not want short receivers. Scouts, you don't even have to look at short receivers. O-linemen have to be athletic. Don't want anybody over 300 pounds. They got to be able to run. They got to be athletic. So, I mean, it makes the scout's job that much easier. And like Harbs is talking about, with parameters, those are the types of things. And maybe it changed a little bit with Todd and his offense. All right, because Eric's got to have conversations with Todd. Todd, what type of lineman do you need? Maybe it's different than with G-Ro. You know, so there's parameters for each position. Positional specifics.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll get specific with some money, hopefully, coming up next. Buy or sell. Talk about sports subjects of the day. Draft profiles continue on. Route 12:30, going to BYU. Still talking offensive tackles. NFL lunch coming up at 1 o'clock. American League East report at 1:15. And then Phil Miller covers the Twins for the Minneapolis Star Tribune. He'll be joining us at 1:30. Twinkies coming in here with a losing record. Well, what's the potential?
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Oh, there.
Are you buying?
Great cash, homie.
Or are you selling?
I'm not gonna buy into that crap.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan here on this Monday. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw, other side of the glass. Scoreless at Fenway, Guardians against the Red Sox as they celebrate Patriots Day there. It's also Jackie Robinson Day, April the 15th, celebrating, one of the great players of all time. Not only was he a civil rights icon, he was a hell of a ball player. That's why he's in the Hall of Fame. His WAR was incredible. I mean, you forget that he was actually really good at baseball, too. But get that hat. You won't regret the decision. But, Nolan, how you doing over there, big guy? And we'll get to you in a second. But right now, are we going to have money to buy one of them hats?
Yes, we are. Today, we are. The Dow's up 131. The S&P's up 11. Uh-huh. NASDAQ's down 3. DraftKings up 47 cents. Under Armour's up 5 cents to 634.
As always, Buy or Sell is brought to us by the Farmer's Dog. We'll start in the NFL, where Tom Brady last week made a lot of headlines, toying with the idea of coming out of retirement, but he had some other comments in that lengthy interview that are worthy of discussion, talking about a former teammate who was asked, who was the most underrated teammate you ever had in your time in New England? His quote here said, talking about Rodney Harrison, says he should be in the Hall of Fame. He was a good competitor, defensive player, smart, tough, physical, effing mean out there on the field. I loved it. Longevity certainly there for Rodney Harrison. Two first-team All-Pro selections as well. Buy or sell, Vinny. He should be a Hall of Famer.
Like when you mention his name, Norm, my gut says it's not like jumping out at me like, yes. So I'd say no.
Over to baseball here. After waiting until the last minute to sign with a team in free agency, Jordan Montgomery has moved on from Scott Boras as his agent. You remember when free agency started, he was projected to get a lengthy deal, maybe upwards of $100 million in free agency, but settled for 1 year, $25 million, meaning he's going to be right back in the same situation next offseason, for better or worse. Far from the only Boras client that's been in that situation, pitchers and position players for that matter. Buy or sell, Bob, will start to see other Boras clients follow Montgomery's lead.
I'll soft bite. Me and Ryan Ripken were actually talking about this subject on Baltimore Baseball Tonight last week here on 105.7 The Fan. He makes you wait. I mean, there were offers, and Montgomery could have got a deal. Same with Matt Chapman and Blake Snell, who got rocked yesterday. You wait, you wait, you wait, and eventually somebody gives you what you want. No. I mean, and pitchers in particular, look, they're dropping like flies, man. This high 100-mile-an-hour stuff, yeah, the pitch clock making them work quicker, but the spin rates and all of this, I don't know. I could soft buy. If you can play, you'll get paid. And I don't know if you necessarily need Scott Boras to fleece people any longer.
You think pitchers is kind of like running backs. They don't want to give long-term deals anymore.
If I was owning a team, I would be 5 years tops is
no
where
doubt.
I'd be going.
Yeah. Preferably, you'd like three, but they won't take three.
Well, Snell's got an opt-out after this season with the Giants, and we'll see how it goes. But, man, crazy. Crazy times.
What do you think, like, Burns? I'm sure he wants it's a long-term
deal.
He's
29.
Yeah.
He keeps being Corbin Burns. He's going to be a well-sought-after commodity. Hopefully, the Orioles will be inclined. I believe Boris represents him, too, if I'm not mistaken. Hey, take that three at 80.
Yeah.
Be happy with life, man. You know how many crabs you can get with $80? Oh, dude.
Anyway. Go back to the NFL here, where in today's game, it's not uncommon to see the average quarterback complaining to the refs throughout the game about missed calls, roughing the passer, even taunting after a sack. But Joe Burrow, I guess he's not like the average quarterback, recently did an interview with the Kelce brothers, said he is, quote, pro-taunting. Back in 2021, the NFL made taunting a point of emphasis, leading to an uptick in flags. Since then, like most things that they make a point of emphasis, it fizzles out after a while. So the past couple years, there's been a decrease in flags. But still, Vinny, buy or sell, refs should be as lenient with taunting as they are touchdown celebrations.
I'll buy that. You know, to me, it's as long as the taunting, you're not pointing at the guy's face, you know, and embarrassing him, then I don't mind it. I mean, I think the fans kind of like it.
What did Zay get his flag for?
Taunting. Standing over the corner.
I mean,
standing over and talking, you know.
But if you've already burned him for a 40-yard bomb, haven't you kind of, that's your taunting?
In your only big play of the second half? Yeah.
And then fumbled.
Yeah.
And the same guy knocked it out of your hands Sneed. That you were just taunting.
Yeah. Got to play a full game.
Karma train.
We'll close with this one here in baseball. The Braves, they feared the worst with Spencer Strider, and those fears became a reality over the weekend. Done for the year, going to need elbow surgery. And replacing an ace in baseball, it's impossible to do it one for one, but his spot in the rotation does need to be filled. Fans would certainly like a splash trade, I'm sure, but one potential replacement that comes to mind is already in-house, 2023 All-Star Bryce Elder. He's actually currently in AAA, despite pitching to a sub-4 ERA over the past two seasons with the Major League club. Buy or sell, Bob, the Braves do have their ideal replacement already in-house.
I'll sell it because the theory is, I'm not saying that Elder wouldn't be the guy, but he's not replacing Spencer Strider. Spencer Strider's a 20-game winner Cy Young dude. This guy's going to come up and fill a need and do it respectably. So I'll sell that he replaces Strider, but I'll buy that. Yeah. And he's not just a dude filling out a five-man rotation. You might get some quality out of that for sure. But that's got to be Spencer Strider's not pitching again until 2025 late. Maybe. Who knows? And if I'm not mistaken, correct me if I'm wrong, because I don't have Spencer Strider's biography in front of me. I think it's his second one. I think he's already had Tommy John surgery before. But if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. Just like Jackson Holliday is going to hit a home run Friday. But that wasn't me. That was my psychic. And if you believe in psychics, you're really, really wrong. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back. Offensive line, breaking them down. We're going to BYU. It's a name that if you, like they say, try saying that three times.
Yeah.
Try saying this one time.
With the 30th pick.
This is Vinny's Draft Profiles.
The Baltimore Ravens select
Vinny and Haney. 105.7 The Fan.
Being more consistent, you know. You can always, a lot of stuff to improve on. Coming into the team and got to learn as much as I can so I can be that elite tackle that I want to be.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan here on this Monday. Draft Profiles continue on. Going out to BYU, talking about offensive tackle. Kingsley Suamataia.
All right, Kingsley, jersey 78, redshirt sophomore. 6'5", 326, ran 5.04, 34 and a quarter arm, 10 5/8 hands. So he's got long arms and big hands. 174 and a 10, 28 vertical, 9'2" broad jump, 31 reps, 2.25, which is pretty good for those long arms. Now he's a 5-star commit, and he committed to Oregon out of high school. Went to Oregon, redshirted in 21, his freshman year. Then he transferred to BYU his sophomore year, which is 2022. So he started at right tackle in 22, and in 23 he started at left tackle, gave up 2 sacks. He's 21 years old, and he was captain. Strength, size, length, speed. He can slide his feet well, well-built. He'll try to finish, show some nasty, bench 31 times, runs well, downfield, plays both tackles, slides feet well, quick out of the stance, good base, good balance and pass, good extension and pass. He can pull, turn up, good hands and pass. He can get to the second level. Not on the ground. Thick lower, he can bend his knees. He uses size and strength to ride the rusher. Now, weakness. What I did was, like, this was his second year. So this was his sophomore year's weaknesses. He'll lunge, miss, needs better balance in both run and pass to slow to redirect. Gets too high, some in pass, and doesn't anchor. Punch not powerful, doesn't play strong. And then this is this year. Must get pad level lower in the run game. Will lunge and miss some in pass, overextends. Not a mauler. Needs more powerful punch. Must stay low in the run and pass. Average slides quickness. Forces gate to open early. Lacks sudden hands. Will overset some and give inside. Heavy footed recovers. Recoveries didn't help him when beaten. In summary, I said this kid's very young. He's 21 and made great strides at BYU. That's why I broke down like his first year at BYU and his second year at BYU, because I saw the improvement. And I saw like the strides he made from year one to year two about how much better he got and then how much better I think he can get. He's versatile. He can play both sides. Very good athlete that has a ceiling to get better. I'm betting on him getting better in the pros. Was good at the senior, because then Bob, then I watched him at the Senior Bowl and he looked good. And that's with pro coaching. And then you follow him for the week and you see him get better. So that was my big, I think he's on the come kind of guy. He needs coaching. He'll need help early with outside speed, not a mauler in the run game. And he's more athletic. So I think the guy, and especially if your O-line coach went and worked him out and maybe saw him at, you know, like I did year two, year three, Senior Bowl, and you see him get better and better and better each time you see him, and then go work him out individually to see if he can do the types of things that you need to get done. But I thought he was athletic. I thought he got better. I kind of was impressed with him at the Senior Bowl. So, I mean, you know, like Mel asked me this morning, you like Rosengarten or Kingsley better? And I said, I think Kingsley's got more versatility, and I saw him in the improvement each year. And then from 23 to Senior Bowl, the improvement.
Now, last week, Mel Kiper Jr. did his big board and rating the top 10 at each position. He has Roger Rosengarten at number 8 in his list of tackles, led by Joe Alt out of Notre Dame, and then Kingsley Sua out of BYU coming in at number 10. And then today, Field Yates and Mel did their alternating 3-round mock draft. Has Kingsley going to the Commanders at pick 40 there in the second round.
And then that all goes back to like what Eric was talking about, you know, why it took him so long to go through the O-line. And you know who has a lot of say-so when you're looking at the O-linemen? The O-line coach and the O-coordinator have a lot of say-so because, you know, like Joe D, he could say, you know, maybe the scouts have a really good grade on him, but Joe D doesn't. It's like, he can't do what we need done. Those kind of things. So the O-line coach has a pretty good say, because here's the problem. If you take a guy and the O-line coach doesn't like him, a lot of times, what does the O-line coach go out to prove? That I was right.
Right.
So that you got to have, everybody's got to be on the same board. And when you draft a guy, it's not like that's my guy, that's your, Bob, that was your guy. No, it's our guy.
Now, looking at this mock draft today, and as you all know, ladies and gentlemen, there's thousands of them, I think literally, out there in the interweb for you to enjoy, criticize, whatever maybe you like to partake yourself. Caleb Williams, 1 to Chicago. Jaden Daniels, 2 to Washington. Drake May, 3 to New England. Is that kind of an etched in stone scenario? Caleb Williams to Chicago, yes.
Yeah.
Daniels to Washington, yes. But is 3 still there?
I was listening to Get Up this morning, Bob, and the insider, who's the insider for ESPN? Not Adam, but the guy who does college football. I can see
Herbie?
No, it's not Herbie. He's an inside guy. But whatever. But they had him on, and he said, I just talked to the people in Washington. He said, I just hung up with the people in Washington, and they got Daniels coming in. They got May coming in. They have the three of those guys all coming in. So they haven't decided definitively yet what they're doing.
Really?
Yeah. So I think they're all in play right now.
Well, based on what you've seen, and we did the quarterback breakdown a couple weeks back.
I'd take Daniels.
Over Drake May.
I would definitely take Daniels. I think Daniels is ready to play. You know why I think he's more ready to play, Bob, is because he runs like Lamar runs. You know, I mean, he's fast, and he can get himself out of trouble. If your O-line's not great, he can get himself out of trouble. Whereas Drake May, he's young. Drake May, he's played 2 years. Mm-hmm. And same with McCarthy. Those two guys need some time. And whereas Daniels, and he's thrown a ton of balls. McCarthy needs time, Bob, because he hadn't thrown the ball a ton. And you're going to ask him to throw it a ton.
Why all the mocking of teams moving up? Like, for instance, today, Vikings move up to 5 to get J.J. McCarthy. It concerns that he won't be sitting around at 10, 11, 12 there anymore?
Yeah, because here's what it's like, Bob, especially if you need a quarterback. You're sitting there at 11, and you're like, oh, because, Bob, they look at all the mock drafts, too, and they look at teams' needs. Who needs a quarterback? Giants. You know, where could he go? If we're sitting at 11 and 1, 2, and 3 are quarterbacks, so there's one left from 4 to 11. Can he get to us? And then you got teams that may trade up. You know, the Raiders and all the... So, are you willing to sit there and risk a guy, especially if you love the guy, to sit there and wait? And you're waiting for the Denvers to jump up, because you got to look at them. Will Sean Payton jump? Absolutely. They're a mover and a shaker. Will the Raiders? Movers and shakers. Giants? Not movers and shakers. You know, and then, like, who can I trade with? That's what happens is you get nervous. You get extremely, and especially, Bob, because your owner's probably all in too. And then it's like, how sure are you getting them at 11? And they're businessmen, probably 30%. Well, we better increase those odds. So if you overpay for a quarterback, that's okay. If he turns out to be your guy, whatever you paid wasn't enough.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back, reset the program for you. If you want to get in, you can at 410 583 1057. Orioles win yesterday 6-4 over the Brewers. Salvage the series finale, taking on the Twins tonight. We'll talk about Minnesota with Phil Miller. Covers the Twinkies for the Minneapolis Star Tribune. Got the American League East report coming up at 1:15. Feed you some more football at 1 with your NFL lunch. But if you want to get in, talk about the Orioles, the series that was against the Brewers. Moving ahead to this week, is the starting pitching a level of concern for you? Feel free to share those thoughts. Jackson Holliday collects his first ever Major League base hit, first of many, as we know. And then the draft. Ravens at 30. We've been talking about offensive tackles. You got cornerbacks. Offensive tackles aren't the big sexy pick, but in the long run might be the best one. Look at the first pick the Ravens ever made. It was Jonathan Ogden back in 96. That worked out all right, didn't it?
What are you drinking? Vinny. Cake bread, Chardonnay. Haney. Mick Ultra. Drink. Vinny and Haney. 105.7. The Fan.
NFL lunch coming up here, 1 o'clock. Talk about what's happening in the National Football League. Talented young receiver up in Philly. He got paid today. We'll talk about that. Start looking at the AFC North. draft wants and needs. As you know, the Ravens win the division last year. Cincinnati decimated by injuries, but they get their starting quarterback returning under center in Joe Burrow. Pittsburgh has different quarterbacks. Russell Wilson expected to be the dude. And then Deshaun Watson returns, shoulder surgery. 5-1 when he started. When last time we saw him play, he was dicing up the Ravens in the second half, M&T Bank Stadium. And then Jolton Joe Flacco came in, led him to the playoffs. And then, as we know, Joe giveth, Joe taketh away with the rough day against Houston in the wild card round. But, I mean, the AFC North, it's always tough.
Yeah.
You never never discount the Steelers. They're
never.
Like the Rays in Major League Baseball. They change things, cost cut that, cost effectiveness here. But then you look in October, there they are.
Yeah.
Or mid-August, they're still contending. Pittsburgh just does not go away. Ravens have won the division twice in the last couple of years. They've been the number one seed, have fallen short of their goal of winning the Super Bowl, obviously. And are they closer to it today than they were then? Probably not, but still a lot of time left before that roster is finalized. Offseason program has begun out at One Winning Drive. Media availability is coming up here on Wednesday. Orioles tonight taking on the Twins. Orioles 9-6 on the year. Win yesterday 6-4 over the Milwaukee Brewers. Vinny, you were down there Saturday talking to Brewers manager Pat Murphy, who replaced Craig Counsell, who's now in Chicago with the Cubs there. And I'm guessing Pat Murphy's got to be satisfied. First of all, getting a gig finally.
Yep.
And then secondly, you know, he's in a division that the Orioles would be prohibitive favorites to win the NL Central.
Yeah.
Brewers, I think, are right there with everybody else, at least what we've seen so far.
I met Murph. I was assistant football, and then he came into Notre Dame. They hired him. Like, he was from Long Island or something, Bob, and he was a Notre Dame, huge Notre Dame fan, and they hired him, and Murph was a worker. I mean, Bob, he had them because there was just one indoor facility, and we practiced in it during the day. Murph being there at midnight with his guys. You know, the AD wasn't crazy about old Murph because whatever the time limit was you were supposed to have, Murph was right up to it or over some. And then Murph did a hell of a job at Notre Dame and then got the Arizona State head coaching job, won the national championship there. And then he went to the Padres, I think. And then he's been with Craig Counsell for a while. He was with Counsell for 8 years as the bench coach in Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. And then he told me he's got a 22-year-old son that's in the Padres organization. So that's kind of cool, too. He's got four kids, lives in Arizona. And Murph's 65 years old. You know, to get your first gig at 65, that's a pretty good thing. But he is an extremely smart baseball guy. Extremely smart. So I told Bob, I said, I was standing outside their locker room, you know, talking to Murph. A lot of the players were eating, and there was no English being talked. I don't know, Spanish or whatever it was, but I did not hear one. I couldn't understand a word anybody was saying.
Maybe it was code for don't say anything in front of this guy right here. There is a game going on in Major League Baseball as we speak up there at Fenway Park. It's Patriots Day. Red Sox and Guardians getting it on right now. Scoreless, bottom of the sixth inning. Cleveland's off to a nice start here at 10-5, 7-2 on the road. We'll get into a full-on standings report coming up in about 15 minutes or so. You can get in if you want at 410-583-1057. Nolan, get in here real quick before we get top of the hour. We talked earlier about Angel Hernandez. And when you hear the name Angel Hernandez, it's usually not in a positive
right.
way. It's like, man, that guy, I'll tell you what, he's tops in my book. When we talk about Angel Hernandez or C.B. Buckner or Laz Diaz, it's usually in negative terms because they're not really good at their job, but they're unionized, and, you know, it's hard to get rid of them. I would figure in any walk of life you could be fired for cause.
You would think.
But you get into a union, and you've got that strength there. But Angel Hernandez, if you missed it over the weekend, he was home plate umpire against the Texas series, and he had the worst miss rate, I think, since they've been doing these umpire judging kind of nerd stats with actual, you know, data and, you know, showing where the ball is outside the zone. I'm just speculating, could be 100% wrong. But since he sued Major League Baseball, lost, because he's never, he hasn't been in the postseason in a while. I mean, you stink. I mean, you're brought up on all of the shows, whether it's MLB Network, ESPN, FS1, whatever, and they're showing you being really bad at your job. And why would you be put in the grandest stage of them all, lost the lawsuit, and it's now he's gotten worse.
Oh, Bob, those calls.
It's almost like he's doing it on purpose.
Well, the third strike call the other day, that was so far outside that it was embarrassing. Yeah. The announcer, hearing the announcer is like, serious?
Right. Yeah. Langford, the batter there, and I just had to pull up the replay because Langford doesn't even put up a fight, which I was surprised by. I mean, maybe he's like us. He's like, oh, it's Angel Hernandez. That's what you get. But all three, where they were clearly, Langford doesn't seem to chirp him or say anything, and after the punch out, he just turns around and walks away.
Now, well, is he known as a pitcher's ump?
I don't think the reputation is he has no clue what he's doing out there, whether he's on a base or down a line or behind the plate. I think there's a lot of just like, I don't think there is a strength with him.
How can you not fire him? I mean, he's so bad and his ratings got to be awful.
Well, you would figure that Rob Manfred or someone
right
within Major League Baseball would be like, dude, why don't you take a couple weeks off?
Yeah.
Paid vacation. But just...
They've done the bare minimum by keeping him away from the World Series. But that, again, that's the bare minimum you can do.
It's an embarrassment to baseball, quite frankly. And I don't think, and I know the season's still relatively young, we've experienced him doing an Oriole game yet, right?
Don't think so.
But let's just say that a series that he will work involving the Orioles, his presence will be felt at some point in time negatively for
whatever
team.
Well, he can't kill you on the bases because they got replay.
That's true. But there could be some slowing of the game going on there. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. But it's mind-boggling. And if you missed the replays, the highlights, or you were watching the game as the Astros took on the Rangers over the weekend, it was pretty brutal. Brutal to watch. When we come back, NFL lunch, Fiji's football. Major League East Report coming up around 1:15. Red Sox in action, as we said. And then Phil Miller, Star Tribune, talk about the Twins coming in at 6-8. You know, this is a team that's expected to do some good things in the AL Central, decimated by injuries right now and defections to the starting rotation. So as there's still strength to make a run there in the division, we're not even through tax day in Jackie Robinson Day. And then another funhouse trip with Nolan McGraw before Inside Access takes over too. Baltimore baseball tonight, brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts. Me and Jim Hunter live from Pickles Pub, starting at 5:30. You're ready for the Birds and Twins game 1 of 3.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.